When you walk through the doors of the sanctuary, one of the first things you notice when you come in is the windows. You know how many visitors and guests comment about the open windows? On this side, if we look out, we see the trees and the leaves dancing, and if we're lucky, we get a bird hopping from branch to branch with a worm in its mouth. And on this side, if we look out, we see the fields with dandelions and what are those white clover weed things? They're called clover. Obviously. And they carpet the grass. It's quite a sight. It's what Jesus says to do when we're feeling anxious. He says, look out at creation. See how God cares for the birds and the fields. And if God cares for these little things, just imagine how much God cares for you. So don't be anxious. Jesus says, let tomorrow's worries be for tomorrow. Well, easier said than done. There is a lot to be worried about. I'm grateful Gail showed a picture of the top of the earth. You know, if we were all hovering in space looking down, we would notice that 2/3 of the land is brown, which means that they call it desertification, which means the soil is no longer maintaining its moisture, which means even after it gets buckets and buckets of rain, the next day it's as dry as a desert because it's not being retained in the soil. It's evaporating up into the earth. And so if they were to circle just the green areas, we have barely 1/3 of the earth that's still thriving. And that's it. So we see increases in poverty and hunger. We see increases in violence and social unrest. We see increases in borders tightening and a resistance to mass migration, all because of climate change. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm not sure how many tomorrows humanity has. That's the bad news. A couple years ago, they interviewed Mikhail Gorbachev. Do you remember that Soviet leader? They said, what do you see happening around the globe? You know, Brexit and European unions collapsing and border security tightening and walls built and nationalism rising and nuclear arms race going back to their starting gates. What do you see? He said, I see an anxious world that's preparing for war. And Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Not to mention, we have this, maybe you've felt it, this underlying current of anxiety flowing through every single day. Does anybody else feel that? To varying degrees. You know, in our world, 1 out of 13 people struggles with anxiety. In our country, it's 1 out of 5. Our children, it's 1 out of 3. And Jesus says, don't worry. Some people say it's because we have these handheld devices that we're tethered to, where our lives exist inside of them. And so every time it dings or notifies us or reminds us that something crazy is happening in the world, every time that happens, it creates this wave of anxiety. There's probably some truth to that. Others say it is because we have too many choices and we have to fit our lives under the social pressure. Especially our youngins are feeling the social pressure, and they say that's where the anxiety comes from. Others say the world, you just can't trust it anymore. Oh, remember the days when mother would let us bike around the whole city. And then we'd come home for dinner and we'd go back out, and then at dusk we would scurry home. Or maybe this is just me, but when I missed the bus at school, I just walk the mile and a half home and mother wouldn't say a word. But these days, it's unheard of. Jesus says, don't worry. He obviously never had any children. Or an iPhone that dinged every time he had a notification. Or he never had to worry about ice caps melting. That's why polar bears are endangered. Very smart. So what's Jesus doing when he says, look to the birds in the fields? What's the point? Maybe he's reminding us, he's saying, take a look, be reminded of creation, that you are creatures. We're not gods. We are creatures who belong to the Creator. And if these lilies and flowers and trees and birds, if these are all things that are being taken care of, then just imagine how God cares about you. Maybe that's what he's saying. After all, we know the old story at the beginning where God forms us out of the dust, the clay, the earth. The Adama is the Hebrew word, and creates Adam, humanity. They're connected, right? We are intricately connected to what happens in the soil and in the ground and in the ocean of the earth. That's the story of creation. And out of that, we belong to God. Maybe that's what Jesus is trying to get at. Maybe we felt that connection before. Have you ever been to the ocean or to the beach? Have you felt the waves slide over your toes? And heard the seagulls squawking? And the air is salty and the sound of the ocean roars? What's the feeling? If you listen to people share their experience, they say things like, I felt something release. All the worries washed away. I felt connected to something bigger. Maybe it's on a hike looking at wildflowers. Maybe it's on the grass looking at the stars. Maybe it's the morning coffee on the back deck, listening to the birds sing their morning song. But we feel the connection to something greater than ourselves because we are connected to something greater than ourselves from the soil of the earth. And maybe Jesus is trying to get us to reconnect with that connection we so desperately need today because we are creatures who belong to the Creator. Maybe that's what he's doing. But the truth is, there's still a lot of hungry people in this world who do not have basic needs. And the truth is, while looking at nature is a nice relaxing escape, it does not address the injustices that we face or that others face every day. Which is why there might be another piece to this text that we often miss. When Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat, or about what you will drink," the "you" is plural. It's all y'all. Do not worry about what all y'all are going to eat or drink or wear. Look to the birds and to the lilies. Notice he doesn't say look to the bird or the flower. The birds in the sky, the lilies in the field, this community of creation that is thriving in their domain. Look, all y'all. It's a word for community that we belong to each other. When we get sick, when we get scared, when we get stressed out, we have each other. A few weeks ago, our Presbyterian Women's Circle and our mom's group, they got together for a Saturday morning tea. Now, what I've heard as people spoke about that experience, about these two groups, they said, these groups really care about each other. These women in the Presbyterian Circle group, they have been living through life's highs and lows for decades. And the mom's group, looking at them, says, well, maybe that will be us in a couple years. And the mom's group, the Presbyterian women's group, who look in on this circle, say, wow, they share their worries over a glass of wine. Because we need each other. You know, Jesus has a name that he mentions after he points us to creation. He has a word for a community that cares about each other and cares about the world. Do you know what he calls it? He calls it the kingdom of God. And he invites every single one of us to live into that kingdom and to be a part of that kingdom and to expand the circle of our own groups to include others until there is justice for all. There's no doubt in my mind that God cares deeply for this church. Where kingdom people care for each other. Where kingdom people seek God's justice. And the truth is, if we're going to continue to be a caring community who seeks God's justice, we are going to need these daily reminders about who we are and to whom we belong. And thankfully, they're there. Just look to the birds. Just look to the flowers and imagine if God cares that much for them, just think how much God cares for you. The Word of God for the people of God.